emotion associated with this thing. People, on the other hand, I don't even have to go any further. I think you understand what I'm talking about. Isn't that true? And I don't know that there's one of us who hasn't been touched emotionally. Not simply informationally, but emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, by some aspect of this in our lives, by either us personally or somebody that we know. And so my deeper concern, more than just giving information, is that somehow, through this whole process, that I can convey the heart of God and the tenderness of God towards each person here today, and hope that His heart of mercy can minister healing and wholeness and recovery and confidence and faith to trust Him and follow Him and lean on Him and know that His truth is for our highest and best good. And behind His truth is a heart of love and compassion that is deeper than we can even plumb. So I want to encourage you today that if this touches some tender place in your heart, that God wants to minister wholeness and healing to your heart and strengthen you through His Word. Amen? Praise God. Now, it's going to look kind of weird when I put the scripture up here because we're going through the Gospel of Mark. But frankly, Matthew's account of this whole thing has so much more detail. Instead of putting Mark's passage up there and inserting in red the little things that Matthew adds or Luke adds, I'm going to put Matthew's up there. So, Gospel of Mark, starting at Matthew 19, with a little bit in red from the Gospel of Mark. You know, it's kind of like what they're saying about a certain Mexican food vendor these days. They're saying, you know, they call it beef, but it's less than 35%. We're calling this the Gospel of Mark. We have what, 6, 7, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words? That'll do. Matthew 19, 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished these sayings that He departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there. And Mark adds, and as He was accustomed, He taught them again. The Pharisees also came to Him, testing Him, and saying to Him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And He answered them, said to them, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And they said to Him, well, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now, as it's indicated in the letters in red there, it says that in Mark's Gospel that Jesus, as was His custom, was teaching them. And I think it's likely, very likely, I can't guarantee it, it's very likely that He was teaching on the whole topic of divorce and remarriage. Why? Because number one, that's what He customarily taught on. You see it in the Sermon on the Mount, you see it scattered throughout the Gospels. It was His custom to do so. So number one, He probably did it because He frequently did. And number two, He probably did it because that's exactly where the Pharisees were trying to trip Him up. It's very possible He said something very forward very to the point and controversial among them, and so they decided to test him to see if they could trip him in his words. Now, one of the reasons he may have taught so frequently on this whole topic of divorce and remarriage, because in that culture, in that day, not to mention today, but in that culture, in that day, it was so prevalent. It was so prevalent in that culture that one source said that the average man in that culture, even among the Jews, on average was married 6 times. No. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, what you had there was this. You basically had 2 schools of thought. You had one school, rabbinical school, a guy named Hillel, that the Pharisees frequently quoted and were propounding, and they were saying that basically nearly the only regulation Moses gave in Scripture back in Deuteronomy 24 was that if a man wanted to divorce his wife, he had to make sure he gave her a certificate. You had to have the little piece of paper, then you were good. Really, there was barely any other regulations. If she married some other guy and then left him and wanted to come back to her husband, she couldn't. That was maybe the other regulation. But there was really nothing regulating that, governing that. There was no cause of action in the law of Moses for a woman to divorce her husband. So you look at the woman at the well in Samaria, who had been divorced, who had had 5 husbands, and really, what a tragedy. It wasn't that she couldn't make up her mind and was going from guy to guy. She was rejected 5 times. She was a wounded woman. She had been put away. She couldn't initiate that, but the man could. She had been put away 5 times. It's no wonder her current person wasn't her husband. She probably said, I'm not going through this anymore. I can't do this again. And Christ had compassion on her, even though he held her to the truth. And it was rampant. And the Pharisees propounded this thing in this particular school of teaching, rabbinical school of teaching. Some of the things you could put away your wife for. Examples, she burned the bread. You're out of here. What's this? I smell burnt on his crust. Too much salt in the food. Letting her hair down in public. Disrespecting the mother-in-law. Yeah, I can see a few of you would be in a heap of trouble. Don't you talk about my mom. It's my mama. Infertility. In other words, kick them while they're down. Literally just about any reason you could imagine. There was another rabbinical school that said no divorce at all under any reason, and regardless of how horrendous or nightmarish the thing had become, how twisted and distorted the relationship had become. Very few people were aligned with that school, so the Pharisees ruled the day. Divorce and remarriage was rampant. It was abused. It was for any reason at all. And so the Pharisees were probably trying to get Jesus caught in his words between what he was teaching and what the law of Moses actually said. They may have been trying to get him to take a side on one issue or the other, one school or the other. They may have tried to maybe get him in a place where they could say, well, you know, if you're such a teacher, why do you disagree with Moses? Was he wrong? Are you saying the scriptures are wrong? And try to catch him in his words and get him confused and get him backtracking. What the Pharisees didn't realize, though, was that just because something is legal, and that's true today, just because it's legal, it doesn't make it moral. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it holy or righteous. There are all kinds of things that fall between the cracks that are legal, but they're not right. They're just not right. Just because something is legal, it doesn't make it righteous. And the Pharisees were saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus, is it lawful for him to reject her, to abandon her, to kick her out on the street with no means of support? Is it lawful for him to simply cut the tie and cast her aside like some worn out shoe when something new comes along? Is it lawful for him to abuse her and use her and manipulate her and treat her like some piece of property that he simply got tired of and is throwing away in the dump? Is that lawful? Jesus. And they just didn't get it. And by the way, ladies, if some guy talks you into shacking up with him and living with him outside of marriage, that's exactly what you're giving him permission to do. To use you and throw you away when it's convenient for him. Don't be deceived. I don't care what he looks like or how smooth he talks or how much your pulse races when you're around him. The problem with the Pharisees, the problem with religion, dead religion, is that it looks at the letter of the law under a microscope and it ignores the spirit of the law that's staring it in the face. It takes the letter of the law and blows it up so big that it loses track of the big picture. It loses track of the heart behind what the law was there to accomplish. And the problem with the Pharisees is that they knew their Moses. They were educated men. They knew their Moses, but they didn't know their God. And they couldn't see God because Moses was so big that they couldn't see around him. They saw the letter, but they didn't see the Spirit. They were blind to the Spirit.